Book of Acts. We're talking about the church a little bit. We did this morning. Some of the things we're still learning. There's a lot to learn in the book of Acts and the other books. But we're talking about the church. But here I want to talk about when threats come. Acts chapter 4 this afternoon. Acts chapter number 4 this afternoon. When threats come. Acts 4, verse number 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now evening tide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's a very important verse to highlight, underline. If you underline your Bible, highlight that verse. Listen, it's not through your preacher. It's not through La Crosse Independent Baptist Church, as I tried to make it very clear this morning. I try to make it as clear as I can and preach as hard as I can, because I realize no matter how much I preach, how much I teach, there's some of them that still, like the Bible says, their ears are closed, their eyes are grossed over, they're just not getting it. Why? Because the God, little g, of this world, the devil, has blinded their eyes, has stuffed up their ears, has doing everything. Listen, now, I wish you could see for a day, for a service, what I see. The way that, man, when you see God start working on some people and they'll start getting fidgety, you know, they'll start picking up stuff and they'll pay attention for a while, but then you can just see them. They start trembling. What do? They'll pick up a songbook and they'll start reading through, flipping through. They're doing everything they can. They'll try to find every little piece of trash. I'm telling you what, if you're going to do something like under conviction, at least pick up the trash in the pew or something like that, make yourself useful. But I watch it. And I watch people under conviction. And the Bible says there's no other name given among men, under heaven, given among men, whereby ye must be saved. It's not La Crosse Independent Baptist Church. It's not, listen, if you get saved, if you're saved this afternoon, it's not because of Daniel Lineberry. It's because of Jesus Christ. I'm just the vessel that God used to come to Kansas. God could have used somebody else. Matter of fact, I could be the someone else that God used because somebody else refused to go. Who knows? I know I'm in God's perfect will. I'm exactly where God wants me this afternoon. I'm preaching God's word. And it brings joy to me to preach God's word. But it also brings sorrow to me when I watch people like this morning walk out of church lost under conviction. The joy that I feel by getting up and preaching. I love preaching. I love getting up and proclaiming God's word, but it brings sorrow too when I watch somebody that I can see sitting there. Man, they'll pay attention the whole time, and I watch them get under conviction. I know God's working on them, and maybe they're just not quite ready, you know. Just listen, we talked about this morning.
There's labor pains involved in birthing a child. Sometimes it takes some time. You know, not always. I've heard some ladies say, you know, after third, fourth, they come on. But listen, some of them, it takes time. That first one takes sometimes days. Sometimes women are in labor pains for days. What's the same thing? If God compared under conviction, God compared salvation to being born like the natural birth, it also obviously meant that just like it takes labor pains to look, it takes labor pains to see somebody walk the aisle. Sometimes people sit there with their hands on them pews and they'll hold on to that thing, they'll hold on to that thing, they'll be under conviction and they know it. And I've watched people, they'll look at me the whole time, but when I say give that altar call, they won't look up for nothing. They sit there like this and you watch their head moving, they're talking to themselves. You know what? They're talking themselves out of salvation. They're talking themselves out of being saved.
It brings sorrow to me. Breaks my heart. Because I've watched them. And watched people walk out, and some of them have never come back. Anyway, he says, listen. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. It's not in the church. It's not in water baptism. I say, some of you say, preacher, you said that all. Exactly, but some of you still ain't getting it. Some of you still holding on to church membership. Some of you still holding on to something that happened at 4 years old. Well, something that never happened at 4 years old. Oh, don't you remember? Don't you remember when you was 4 years old? Yeah, I remember I was 4 years old. So what? Did it change my life? Did God, Jesus, did the Holy Spirit of God move in your heart? You're the temple of God. The Bible says when you get saved, your body becomes a temple. Does the Holy Spirit of God dwell inside of you? If not, you're lost. I don't care what some man, woman, child says to you. I don't care what some preacher tells you. If the Holy Spirit of God does not indwell you, does not live inside of you, you're lost. You'll die in your sins. It takes the same blood. It took the same blood, precious blood of God, to save that little child that sits on the church pew, that Lord willing, I hope that all of my children never taste a drop of alcohol. I hope they never smoke one cigarette. They never see drugs in their life. I hope they marry right. They don't have any kind of relationship outside the bounds of marriage. I hope, but you know what? If they do all that, they're still sinners and they still need the blood of Jesus Christ applied to their lives. They must be saved. Verse 13. Now, I got to move on because this is not in my message, but the Lord just felt like telling me a part there. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, I've had people, well, you obviously know the Bible. Yes, I do. But I don't consider myself no Bible scholar. I didn't go to seminary. I didn't go to some big college to learn the Bible. I didn't go to a bunch of professors and stuff. You know what I did? I picked it up and studied it and read it myself. I sat under preaching and heard preachers proclaim the Word of God and preach. And listen, I've heard being thunder from pulpits and I've been preached to. And listen, I've never been preached to the house, but I've been preached to the altar many times. I said before, and I say, I'm not worried about those that come to the altar. I worry about those that never come to an altar. If you're afraid of this altar, it's probably because you know you need to do business with God. Either one, two things. You need to be saved, or you're not living right. Listen, they took notice. If you get along with God, and you'll get in God's Word, you'll learn God's Word. I don't care if you are an ignorant and unlearned person. People will take notice that there's something different about you. I have a lot of older men tell me, well, you know, I don't know the Word of God like you do. Why don't you? You claim you've been in church for 50 years. You claim you've been in church for 40 years. Why don't you know God's Word? Why don't you know what the Bible says? Even if somebody does get saved, the devil's still winning in people's lives because though he may have lost their soul, they're still not doing anything for God because they won't get in God's Word and study and read and be able to proclaim and give people God's Word when opportunity rises. They took knowledge that John and Peter had been with Jesus. Can people take knowledge of that? Can people see that you in your life, hey, you've been, hey, there's something different. He's been alone with God. She's been alone with God. That's what we all do. Listen, when the threats come, that when the threats come in our life, when the people start rising up against the church, like what's going went on in Canada this past year, the only way you're going to be able to endure is if you've been alone with Jesus. If you, people can take knowledge that you know what God's Word says. Because that's what's going to get you through it. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man that was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. If you really have got saved, there should be a difference in your life. People can't deny it. I told you before, the guys I went to high school with, that I worked with, they knew what I was before I got saved. And a lot of them know what I am now after I got saved. They take knowledge that there's something different in my life. Brother Shepherd, years ago, Brother Shepherd was telling me the story about this lady there in where he's from there in Miller's Creek or Wilkesboro up in that area in North Carolina. And he said this woman always used to say, I'm not going to hear Plato Shepherd preach. I know what he was. Brother Shepherd said, you know, it got him down because of he knew what he was. He knew the things that he'd done before he got saved. Knew the life he had lived. And he said, but one day one of his buddies looked at him and said, he said, Brother Shepherd, he said, don't let that get you down. He said, because she has to say she knows what you was, not what you are. People are going to say, well, I know what you was. He said, yeah, but I'm not the same person I was. I told one of my favorite, I listened to man J. Harold Smith. I'm pretty sure it was J. Harold Smith. I got the message. J. Harold Smith talking about when he got saved. He said the next morning he woke up, his bulldog just sat there looking at him like, he said my bulldog didn't even recognize who I was. He said the bulldog just sat there looking at him. He said, you're not kicking at me, cussing at me? He said that my bulldog knew that there was something different about me. When you meet Jesus and you truly give Him your heart, give Him your life, get saved, repent of your sins, put your faith. When you truly allow God to have control of your life, there'll be a difference. That woman at the well, she'd been married 5 times, shacking up with a man. God changed her life. She didn't go back to him. How about this afternoon? You hear you're lost. When the threat comes, you'll just abandon God because you're not really saved. You're not really, there's nothing there. Beholding the man that had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing. Verse 15, and when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. So when the threat comes, what are you going to do? When the threat comes, are you going to run? Are you going to let them tell you what you can and can't preach? Are you going to come to church? Say, you know what, preacher? They're threatening us. They're threatening the church. They're going to lock the church doors. Listen, I've got news for you. Those of you who weren't here for Sunday school, you ought to be here for Sunday school if you can. You ought to be here. We learned about this morning. This ain't the church. This is just a building we meet. Yeah, we put it as La Crosse Independent Baptist Church on it, but this ain't the church. The Bible says the church is called out assembly of believers. It's the people that are truly saved that's the church. And we're a local, visible body of believers here for La Crosse and for Rush County to be a witness and a testimony so that visitors can come in, so that others can come in that need to be saved. Those that came this morning, visitors-wise, that God wants to get them into the church where they need to be. Listen, you should be saved, you should be baptized, and you should be faithful to a local body of assembled believers. Because that's where you're going to get fed. That's where you're going to learn. They commanded them, and they called them, commanded them that they should not speak nor to teach at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Here's what Peter says. Peter says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot bespeak the things which we have seen and heard. If God really moves in, we talked about this morning with the fruit. If God really moved into your life, you can't help but speak about it. You can't help but tell the person, listen, hearing testimony, you can't help but say, listen, as a saved person, I can't marry somebody that's lost. I'm not supposed to date somebody that's lost. That's what got me in church. I didn't marry the girl that got me in church, but when we met, her family just got in church, got saved. She invited me to church, said, if you're gonna come around talking to me, you're gonna come to church. I said, okay, I can handle this. I've been to an independent Baptist church. I know how crazy they are. That ain't no big deal. Some of you may have been sitting under a lot less than I have. I told you I sat under preaching for over 3 years, probably. I didn't go Sunday morning, Sunday night, but when I was a teenager, I used to ride the church bus almost every Sunday to Gospel Light Baptist Church. From the time I was 14, 15, 16 years old, I went almost every Sunday to church. I sat under a man of God that thundered from a pulpit. And I remember Steve Robertson was his name. I remember him getting up and preaching God's word. I remember being under conviction, but I didn't quite undergrasp everything about it. Walking out of there lost at 16 years old. At 18 years old, a girl invited me to go to church with her. Said, if we're going to talk, if we're going to date, you've got to come to church with me. I said, I can handle this. Baptist church. I was raised Methodist. I can handle this. I've been through a Baptist church. It wasn't no big deal. And I got in there and God rung my clock, man. God rung my bell. That's what we're not the clock. God rung my bell. There was three sections of that church. And we sat most of the time over here on this section. About the third row back, we'd sit there. And God began to work on my heart. And I'll tell you what, there'd be times I walked out of there under conviction. God was raking me over the coals of hell. I knew I was a lost man. I was 18 years old. I already started drinking. I had the filthiest mouth, told the filthiest jokes. I don't say those things. I'm bragging on what God can do this evening. Let me tell you something. As dirty as you are this evening, as nasty as you are, or as clean as you are, if you're here lost this evening, it's just coming to an altar and confessing Jesus. God, I understand. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, that He shed His precious blood to wash away my sins. I'm a sinner in need of Your salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. When threats come your way, listen, they threaten them. They said, listen, we cannot but speak in this. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Father, help me now this evening, Lord. I've been long in the introduction now. Help me get through these points really quick, God. But most importantly, God, I know there's some lost in here, Lord. That's why You've had me, Lord, expound upon that. It ain't part of my message. But God, when the threats come, are we going to choose to serve You or man? I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, when they lay hands on you, what are you going to do? Verse number three, they came in, they laid hands on them. When somebody comes in and lays hands on you in this church, listen, the longer the Lord, I don't want to say delay, but until the Lord comes back, they're going to become the persecution our way. What starts in Canada usually comes down next into New York or goes down into California and then it comes across this nation. They shut churches down over a virus. They said, we don't care what your God-given rights are. We're the government. We know better than you do. When that persecution comes, when that threat comes, and they lay hands on you, they threaten you, what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, preacher, I don't know. I don't know if I can endure it. It's out there on me, man. Maybe the rest of y'all can
Maybe the rest of y'all can think you get away with it. My sermons are all on the internet, man. There's all kinds of sermons on YouTube that I preach that people have recorded and put on YouTube. I've got all kinds of messages on our website. Some people have been on there lately downloading some. It may be the government for all I know. I don't know. You know what? I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm more afraid and more sad that I see people that I preach to leave lost. If I endure a little bit of threats, if I endure a little bit of persecution for 100 years, what's that compared to an eternity with God? What's that compared? Listen, that sin that you're in, if you're here this evening, you're lost. What is that sin compared to an eternity in the lake of fire? The Bible says that you'll open your eyes in hell and you'll stay in hell to the great white throne of judgment. At that time, you'll be brought out of the fires of hell. You'll stand before God, the Bible says, and the books will be open. The book of life will be open to show you that your name is not really written there. And the book of your lives will be opened up, and the sin that nobody else knew will be revealed. And then you'll be bound hand and foot and cast into the lake of fire. That's why I preach like I do. That's why I'm not afraid if they lay hands on me. I told my wife, I said, I told my kids too, joking around. But I mean it, man. I'll protect my children. Some man hurts one of my daughters, I ain't afraid to go to jail for my kids. I said, if I got to go to jail because some man, they marry some man that does them wrong, that does something to them, touches them inappropriate, whatever it may be, beats them, I'm telling you what, I ain't afraid to go to jail for my children. If I got to go from a preaching ministry here in the church to a prison ministry on the inside, that's what I'll do. If they try to send me to jail and lay hands on me and put me in jail because I'm preaching God's word and I refuse to back down, I refuse to allow this bunch of wicked sodomite and perverseness that's going on in our day and time to continue on and not spare, cry out, as I read this morning in Isaiah 58, I'm going to cry out, I'm going to let it shout like a trumpet, man. It is my responsibility to give people the warning. Ezekiel calls me the watchman on the wall. I ain't afraid to. I'm telling you what, Jesus did something for me in November 2000. He gave me, and over the years, I've got more and more bold. I've witnessed more and more. I don't care about my job. I don't care about my finances as much. I care. Listen, I've got a wife and kids, and I understand God will take care of it. But I'm telling you what, I'm more concerned about your soul. If two sodomites come in here, listen, I'm not going to purposely go out and try my way to call people out and try to be mean to them. But if two sodomites come in here tonight, and they need, I'm going to get up and preach to them just like I preach to you. Because they need to be saved. If two government agents, y'all saw last year when all this mess was going on and the deputy showed up just to have service, though that was the wrong way he did. You know what? I didn't back down. And I'm not planning on it. I've come too far. God's been too good to me. He's done too much for me. He saved my unworthy soul. He revived me, made me quicken my life. My soul made me alive again. Or spirit. When a threat comes and they lay hands on you, what are you going to do? Are you going to back down? Or are you going to stand tall? Number two, when they lock you up. He said, verse number three, he said they laid hands on them. They put them in the hold until the next day. If they start locking people up, are you going to back down? When they lay hands on you, are you going to back up? When they lock you up, are you going to say, renounce it? I've told y'all, if you've not got a copy, I've got a copy of it, and I'd be glad to lend it out as long as you let me know you got it and bring it back and pass it around. I'd be glad to pass it around. I may end up getting some copies of it. There's a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you've never read that book, you ought to get a copy of that book. If you want a copy of it, you can't afford it, you come see me. The church will buy you one. Fox's Book of Martyrs, there's a lot of them in there that stayed true. There were a few of them, unfortunately, that were recanted. And there were some of them that recanted that really later on realized they made a mistake and made it right. These people were burned at the stake. These people were killed in just some awful ways. making a lot of them, going out into eternity, singing, praying, Father, forgive them. I'm talking about some of them, man, they nailed the stakes, set them on fire. Some of them, they cut them out of their guts. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. We don't know what persecution is. We live in America where we've got some freedoms. Here's what Americans think. Here's what American Christians think is persecution in our day and time. We think because we can't pray at the football game that we're under persecution. We ain't seen real persecution yet. When they come in and they take your Bibles and they take them out and burn them in front of you, what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, that's it. You're going to lay down and give up? Or are you going to just keep on fighting? When the threat comes, what are you going to do? When they lock you up, what are you going to do? Well, number three, when the stripes are laid on you, he says here that they threatened them. But let me show you what happens further on. Go into Acts chapter 5 real quick. Acts chapter 5, verse number 16. Acts chapter 5, just one chapter over, verse 16. And there came a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which are the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. They were mad. Can you imagine getting mad because sick people were being healed? Oh, wait, I can. I can remember a doctor getting mad last year when they recommended a certain treatment for a virus that was going around, and the doctor said, no, don't take how it's going around. Yeah. Got mad because they were recommending that. Now the study came out this year of how many hundreds of thousands of lives could have been saved had they got that. Anyway, that was free. That didn't cost you nothing else. He got filled with indignation. They were filled. He said, now listen, these people were being healed. Peter, the very shadow, verse 15, the very shadow of Peter just passing over them was healed. Now listen, this was a sign given to the Jews. The healings, the tongues, those were signs given to the Jews. Us Gentiles, the Bible says, we seek after knowledge. We're the ones looking at the Word of God. We're the ones seeking God after the Word of God, not after signs. The signs were not given to us. They were given to the Jews. I want to make that clear. Now, verse 18, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison again. And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to all the people the words of this life. How many of y'all would have said, you know what? The door's open. Let's get out of here. I ain't hanging around. When persecution comes, it got to get you out of it. Are you going to run off? Are you going to run off? Peter and John could, you know, and all that, because we're not hanging around here. The prison doors open two different times for Peter. One time, the angel tells him, don't you run off. You go back up here and you speak again. The other time, he tells him to get away. See how God works? God doesn't always work the same way in every situation. When Paul and Silas was in jail, what happened to them? The jails opened up, their shackles fell off. What did they do? They stayed put. Why? Because there was somebody there that God wanted them to win to the Lord. The angel of the Lord opened the door, opened the prison doors and brought them forth, said, go and stand and speak in the temple to all the people, all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now everybody's gone. Oh no, everybody's gone. They could have escaped out. She said, you know what? This ain't worth it. This ain't worth it. But them apostles, they had something real. Skip on down to verse 27 now. I flipped over here. Verse 27 now. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. The high priest asked them, say, did not we straightly command you? You see what they're saying? When the government comes to you and says, did we not straightly command you not to homeschool your children? Not to teach your children doctrine. You know what? They're trying to indoctrinate your children. That's what they're doing in most public schools. That's what they're doing in universities. When they say, we strongly commanded you not to educate your children about God. I don't know how many of y'all remember. I didn't know the whole case. I don't know what denomination, what religion they believed they were. But back when, not the previous administration, but the one before that was in there for 8 years. It was crooked as they could be. When they were in there, there was a family in Germany, if I remember correctly, that wanted to escape Germany because they banned homeschooling in Germany. And they wanted religious freedom, and they wanted asylum here in America. And that previous president denied that family and made them stay over there so that they could send their kids back into the indoctrination center in Germany.
Oh, it makes me mad. Oh, but if it... Anyway.
When I tell you can't homeschool you talked about it, I don't know if y'all will. Tell you can't homeschool your kids anymore. We don't want you to you're indoctrinating your kids. That's funny. That's exactly what the federal government does. They can't read. They can't write. Majority of kids that come out of Detroit school systems can't read. They can't write. But they can still tell you how to shoot a gun. They can tell you how to take a life. Oh, they can tell you how to sell drugs and everything else. Our school systems are a joke. I know we're in a small town. It's not as bad out here, but I'm telling you, it's coming. They're indoctrinating our kids. Look at the garbage that parents are fighting against right now with this critical race theory garbage that they're trying to put in. They're forcing it into schools. And on top of that, there's even more perverse things. I don't know how many of y'all saw it. I try to watch what I say from the pulpit, but a teacher got in trouble for showing first graders a bunch of perverseness just a few weeks ago. First graders! I'm not recommending you go look it up, but if you don't know and you're an adult, you can come see me after church. I'm not saying it from the pulpit, but I'll tell you what it was. It's perverse. Then you got Nickelodeon putting a nasty drag queen on Nickelodeon. You better watch your kids. I'm telling you, they're coming after them. When they threaten you, are you going to give up? You're going to quit? You're going to say, you know what? It's not worth the fight. You ain't getting my kids. I've come too far. I've got too much invested in them. They're mine. That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with the majority of Americans. Too many American parents, they don't want the responsibility, or they don't believe it's their responsibility to educate their kids or to make sure their kids get a proper upbringing. They're too busy relying on the government to do it. I don't care whether Republican or Democrat. Government ain't got no business anymore educating our kids. They're indoctrinating them. They're educating them. He said when in verse 31, did we not straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought. You see what he says? He tells them over here, he says, Peter says, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God judge ye. He's giving him a question there. But he says here, he just answered flat out, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him God hath exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Skip on down now to verse 38. He says, and now I say to you, refrain from these men. Let them alone. This is Gamaliel. One of the doctors there of the law, it says, verse 34, but he says, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Least happily ye be found to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Did you know that there's been people in America that have been beat for religious freedom? Obadiah, if I mean, I'm 90% sure of the guy's name. Anybody ever heard of Obadiah Holmes? I'm pretty sure that's his name. I'm 90% sure. Obadiah Holmes was a Baptist preacher in the early part of this country before this was a country. They beat him because they didn't like him standing up to the Church of England. They intended on making a state-run church here in America. Obadiah Holmes was a Baptist preacher that they beat him. And when he got done, when they got done scourging him and beating his backside, he said, "They've beaten me as with roses." He said, that's all it felt like, was somebody was just taking some roses. And they beat his back. And there was also another preacher in Virginia that they locked up because of religion. You know what they did? That man stood at the window and preached God's word on Sunday. His people come and stood by the jail while he preached God's word to them. When the threats come, when persecution comes, what are you going to do? You better have something real, because if you ain't got something real, you're going to turn on us. You're going to turn us in. The Bible says that in the latter times, that's why I believe there's still a little bit more to go. I don't know how much more, but we're already seeing some of it. He said in the latter times, he said that children will turn in their own parents. It probably goes on in some countries. It's just a matter of time before it goes. I hope, by God's grace, you really are saved. Because when persecution comes, you'll be turning me in. But I still love you. Maybe some of you in here tonight be willing to turn in this church. Oh, yeah, see, the majority of the churches in this camp, there ain't no problem with them. Why? Because they don't really preach God's word. Oh, they read the Bible. You know, I can read one or two verses in the Bible and not say a thing the whole time. I can get up here and I can read some nice, fuzzy thing about goodness and God's goodness and how good everything, and make you feel good. We can draw a big crowd. I saw a thing years ago, a few years back, I think it was a Pew Research did a study. Do you know what the most popular, what denomination or religion has the highest percentage of, what's the term? Approval, or people that people don't have a negative feeling towards this? Baptist. Baptist by far had the highest, that people had the highest approval towards was Baptist. It wasn't Methodist, it wasn't Lutherans, it wasn't Pentecostals, it wasn't Roman Catholicism. Baptist, 75% of Americans had a positive view of the Baptist religion. But yet the devil convinces most Baptists to be ashamed of being a Baptist. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm not ashamed to identify with Christ. I believe that the Baptists, for the most part, not all of them, but for the most part, we try to hold as close to that Bible teaching as any other. Most other denominations, they have councils and they have committees and all these things. We believe in the local autonomy of the church. We believe in a self-governing church. We believe in baptism by submersion. Very few religions and denominations teach that. We believe that communion is not part of salvation. We believe it is a remembrance of the death and burial, the death of Jesus Christ. We believe it doesn't add anything to it, but we do believe at the same time you're supposed to take it serious. Listen, there's Baptist distinctions that we believe in. But whether you believe it, whether you accept those things or not, doesn't get you into heaven. Being a Baptist doesn't get you into heaven. It's what you do with Jesus Christ. It's when you go, when you got a time that you can remember that you bowed before Him and acknowledged Him as Lord and Savior and confessed that you was a sinner and asked God to save your soul. He says, listen, he threatened them. He said, they even laid stripes on them. He said, Acts 4, verse 19, 20 says, he said, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. It's time, listen, for you to judge. When the threat comes, when persecution comes, what are you going to do? Are you going to give up
You're going to pack in. You're just going to say, you know what? Lord, it's not worth it. I'm telling you what, whether you know it or not, there's people that are watching you. Those of you that have been coming faithful for a while, there's some of you watching.
It took some time, but
Bruce and Mary watched, said whether it's going to, is it going to make a difference in their life? Is it worth going? They're watching. They now may not acknowledge it. They might, but listen, if they're watching, there's probably two or three others at the same time watching you too.
There, listen, it's you people that are here, those that people have known you for years, you're the ones that are going to make the difference in this town. Me getting up here preaching, yes, it's going to, that's what God expects to get the job done, but I can preach all I want to if there's nobody here to hear me. It's not me doing me a bit of good.
It's going to take you, even with the threat of persecution, even with the threat of your family cutting you off, it's going to take you going out and being what you need to be in front of others. We don't know what real persecution is. If you ever, how many of y'all have read that little track about the little drummer boy during the Civil War? And what did they do to the Jew? What did they do with the Jew? You know they still do that in the Jewish religion? That Jewish doctor in that little drummer boy track back there, that Jewish doctor, if a Jew gets saved, you know what they do to them? They cut them off. They're as good as dead to them. They'll even go as far, some of them, I don't know if all of them do it, but some of them go as far as to even bury a casket and say to us, you're dead. We don't face that. Some of you yet say it, maybe out of different backgrounds, different religions. It's like my family didn't do that to me. Some of them don't like the way I am, some of them don't like what I preach. But they still talk to me, they don't cut me off. If you're here this evening though, and you're lost, I'm telling you what, you ought to come to this altar asking God to save you. Some of you put it off long enough. It's time to come to this altar and ask God to save your unworthy soul. Let's all stand. The altar's open. Father, I pray that you would, Lord. It's not about me opening the altar. The altar's always available. God, I pray, Lord. Lord, when the threat comes, help us, Lord, to be grounded in your word, to be grounded in you, in Christ Jesus, that we can withstand the threats, God. And Lord, may this church forever, Lord, till the day you call us home in the rapture, Lord, may we stand for the truth of your word. Help us now tonight, Lord. I pray that some sinner would walk the aisle and call on the name of Jesus before it's everlasting too late. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The altar's open this evening.